Good afternoon. So again, we're going to tag team. My name's Monica. I'm going to talk a little bit about the public health context and health policy context for the statistical methods that CHACO is then going to go into. And we're really sort of focusing on not just the methodology, but how it can inform health policy, particularly in the area of diabetes, which is what I study. So we're here as part of the Chicago Center for Diabetes Translation Research Team. So this is actually a nice segue from our previous talk, thinking about diabetes and MAPS and some of the limitations. And so this is also data from the CDC looking at diabetes prevalence over time. And the darker colors show the higher prevalence rates. So starting in 2004 and then traveling over time to 2009, and we see the same sort of southeastern hotspots for diabetes that was noted previously. In addition to, so we see that diabetes is a huge epidemic problem in our country, and so nothing that's new to this audience. It's also being chased primarily by the obesity epidemic. But there's, in addition to there being geographic variation in diabetes, morbidity and mortality, there's also variation within communities. And some of that variation depends on income, literacy level, race, ethnicity, and other factors. So we are here in Chicago, where we are from and doing our work. This is a map of the city of Chicago, and it just shows how the city is very racially segregated. So the green colors are African Americans, the orange are Latinos, and if it's surrounded by a yellow highlight, that means that it's greater than 90% of that population. So you see that most of the southern and western neighborhoods in the city are primarily either African American or Latino, and for those black communities, it's greater than 90% for most of those. And so you'll see a clustering not only by race and ethnicity in our city, but also by class as well. So I don't have a map of income, but it also overlays very nicely so that you see a lot of the disparities in health and health outcomes on the south and west sides of our city. And those maps correspond to some of the maps that we look at for diabetes mortality, potential years of life lost, and avoidable diabetes-related hospitalizations. And like our first presenter, some of these maps are being presented for the first time. The reason that we are challenged to do our work in Chicago, Chicago is not just a political city. Illinois is not just a political state where many of our representatives are now serving time. But the city itself really is determined. A lot of our policy is shaped by what happens at the community level with our aldermen. And so it's not just what happens at the mayoral office, but local policy is shaped by aldermen in our city and how that impacts what's going to happen for health and health-promoting behaviors. And so understanding what is actually happening at the neighborhood level is crucial, not only in Chicago, but in many other cities geographic or sort of defining boundaries that may or may not map exactly onto zip code boundaries. So as we as a nation are trying to leverage things around big data, as academic medical centers and hospitals are starting to combine our medical information into health information exchanges, we have a unique opportunity in our country to think about how we can leverage these large data systems for health, not only to track hotspotters or high utilizers within our health systems, but also how to, as our previous presenters had mentioned, how to develop interventions that can actually help the patients that we're seeing in health systems. So in Chicago, we're trying to do things like map not only what is available at the local community to actual patients in their neighborhood. So one of the things that our team does, we have physicians that can prescribe prescriptions for food and exercise for our patients at our health centers that are affiliated with the university at locations and neighborhoods that are close to people's home, for farmers market, some grocery stores, and some actually Walgreens stores that are in food desert locations where they're stocking fresh produce every day. And so as we are moving towards health policy changes that really help us to think globally but act locally, one of the challenges that we have with data is trying to make some of those translations. So trying to leverage big data that often exists in aggregate form at the zip code level to thinking and acting at the community level. So local neighborhoods, what are the resources that are there for our patients to be able to leverage, and how do we do that? So the thing that we're talking about today is the use of the asymmetric aerial interpolation method as one way of trying to convert one type of information to the other. So thinking about how we can harness big data for ways that are meaningful to individual patients and individual communities. So we have a collaboration with the city's health department and several academic medical centers in the city, both Northwestern and the University of Chicago, to try and tackle this methodological problem. And so what we're going to talk about for the remaining few minutes is better defining what that problem is, talking about a method that we've developed to address that problem, a study that we did to validate our methods, and then some general conclusions. And so the challenge, as I mentioned before, is one that has been described as the modifiable aerial unit problem. And so the context, again, is the public health indicators in Chicago. We generally think about diabetes, as I do, but there are many other health indicators that we're tracking throughout the city. And again, we're a city of neighborhoods, a city of communities. And so everyone wants to know, you know, what is my alderman doing for my community hospital, for my community, not what is my zip code, what's being done for my zip code. And so one of our primary research questions was, what is the community level variation in diabetes-related hospitalizations, to help us then think about how we can target interventions. And so what we had to do was then take a step back and think about ways that we can try and have some tools to answer that question. And so the first thing that we did was to try and try out the asymmetric aerial interpolation method as a way of trying to translate zip code information into community level information, so then we can then look at some of the community level variations that we see in what are otherwise preventable or avoidable hospitalizations related to diabetes. So here is where I will turn it over to my colleague Chaco to talk about some of the math.
So, by the way, all the presentation file, the PowerPoint and also slide in PDF is posted on the website, so I hope that will be available. And I have to say that I am a GI specialist, but the method we are going to use for present is not that so special. After the geostatistic and hotspot analysis and the Markov chain or random view, oh my gosh, we can really put ourselves in the same level. So I just wanted to say that because I'm getting nervous. Anyway, we don't have time, so I'm going to move on. So this is our problem. We have count and somehow aggregated into one boundary. However, the same count is aggregated by a different boundary, we get total summary statistic, and that's pretty much the summary of the problem. So MALP, or modifiable aerial unit problem, presents many aspects. So one of the aspects that we are going to focus is that this is the second point, interpretation of result can change depend on the choice of boundary. As Professor Peake mentioned earlier, City of Chicago obtained the data at the zip code level. That's how state, I believe, provides the information to the local community. However, that's not really meaningful to us, and we often aggregate the statistics by neighborhood, or what we call community area in Chicago. So how to convert the zip code level information to a community level information? That's the problem we had. Luckily, zip codes and community areas are not that different. Some people say, I have a state level data. Can I convert to a neighborhood data? And that's kind of far-fetching. So, however, zip codes and community areas are similar in size and also population size. So here is the summary by area. So land area is quite similar. So mean average is 4 square miles for zip code and community area, that would be 3 square miles. What? 3 square miles? What does that mean? Oh, I believe that's correct. But the population is different. Zip code could be as small as 493. That makes sense because postal area code was not just for the residents but also for business. So downtown Chicago, there are not many people living there, but there are hundreds of business zip codes, so that might be the reason. And I'm just going to look at the CB, which is the coefficient of variation. So smaller the coefficient of variation, meaning the less variability. So actually, zip code, when we look at the population, variability is really small and higher in community area, but they are quite similar. And what we are going to do is we are going back to an atomic base level, which is a census block. So we will have zip code level information and kind of chop into a small unit, which is a census block, and assemble the number and construct community level or neighborhood level statistic. So here's one example. Hyde Park is the name of the community in Chicago. That's where our school is located. And it's divided into a two zip code. So we have two zip code adjusted diabetes rate, but we don't want the two rates. We want just one rate for Hyde Park. So how are we going to do that? And that's where our decimetric area interpolation method comes in. We basically take the zip code level and calculate the rate for by race, gender, and age group. And for each age, race, and gender, each race, age, and gender, each zip code will have various rate, and the rate will be applied to a census block population by again race, age, and race, age, and gender. Sorry. And number will be reassembled to create a total count, and the count will be aggregated at the community level. I should mention that stage one means this was actually developed by Eric from the city of Chicago. Not sure if Eric is here today. So that's what he did in 2013. So I shouldn't, or we shouldn't take credit for the method. Eric came up with this idea. So what he did was exactly what I mentioned before. So he had a zip code level and created a community area level. So that was what happened in 2013. But his problem was that he couldn't verify that this method really works, because he only had a zip code level and she somehow estimated the rate based on community area. So our task is validate his method. We have now residence, street, house level information. So that means we actually come up with the real actual community level diabetes and hospitalization rate, and compare the actual rate with the rate came up with this decimetric area interpolation unit. And the measure of the evaluation, measure would be the statistical significance or the test for the goodness of fit. We use the chi-square test in order to evaluate our method. So our raw data start with the University of Chicago Medicine Hospital discharge data. We had almost 85,000 cases, all of them available with a patient street address, so we know exactly where they live. The range for the data set would be 2009 to 2011, so this is a 3-year aggregate, and we use three variables: location variable, demographic variable, age, sex, race, and ethnicity, and also the diagnosis code. And in order to process, we need extra information that would be 2010 shapefile for census block, zip code level boundaries, and also summary file, block level demographic file, including sex by age and sex by age by race. And the last one, oops, for 5 minutes, is at our community area boundaries. We process the data, basically geocoded, and we found some of the problems. So our data set had some missing values, not so significant. The second data issue was the zip code data. But the zip code we use was from the Census Bureau, which is a generalized zip code data. It's not exactly a postal area code, which is a route, basically. And the third point is that the census summary file couldn't identify African American population, which is a little bit of a problem for us, because we serve a lot of African American patients, so it would be nicer for us if we could use African American as one of the racial categories, which we couldn't do. And one swapping program. This is something that I wanted to ask a census, somebody from the Census Bureau, but I'm just going to skip right here. Everything was processed, basically patient address was geocoded, and then we focused on the diabetes patients only, based on the ICD-9 code, and 85,000 patients becomes now 6,534 patients or discharges. This is just a summary statistics. We have mainly we have more female diabetes patients, but that trend flips if you look at by race. So in white category, we have more male patients. And if you look at other category, which include mainly African Americans, then we have more female patients. Average age was 61. And since this data come from the one hospital, which is University of Chicago Medical Center, so most of the patients come from the south side. As I said before, we have several steps. The first step is that takes a zip code level discharge rate and apply that to a block level. So we calculate a rate by race, sex, and age. We have 14 age categories, and we apply this rate at the zip code level to a census block population, basically to calculate a row count by census block. So now we have a row count by census block that will be aggregated by now census block, community area level. And we kept that the 4-H category because last thing we have to do is adjust the rate by age. So now we have a age-adjusted discharge rate, and we have a comparison. So what Eric did was Eric had a zip code level, and he compared with the interpreted rate. We have two community level rate. One is actual, which is on the left side, and we have an estimated or interpreted one. And it came up similar. We do have some differences. So the red points are the one which has more difference in the count. But if we look at the difference, we tested the difference using a significance test at 95% level, and it looks like all that the difference are not that significant at 95% level. We are 90% quite sure that those differences are not that significant. So how about the model? So in order to evaluate the model itself, we use a chi statistic just to test that the goodness of fit. And it said that it's a good fit, meaning our estimated discharges are good fit for the actual rate. So that was our result. Then we conclude that the estimated area interpolation could be an effective validated approach. We believe that zip code level data can be translated into a community level data using this method. And we do have, the last one is acknowledgement, just the total group team effort. So I just wanted to mention that. And we throw in some extra slides just to slow more discussion, but not much time for this, so I'm going to skip that. But if you have any question, you could send us email. So we are going to Yes, we look at several variables just to do some simple regression to see what's causing this error and what's correlated with factors. And we didn't really see anything particular. Looks like it's just there are more cases, more hospitalization or more discharge cases. And that seems to be the case. But it's something that we should look into. So I understand why you ask the question. So sorry, I don't have the answer yet.
Does your method require the assumption that in different zip codes, the people's behavior of going to hospitals are comparable?
No, we didn't think that way.
Well, no, I mean, the...
Sorry.
Oh, yes, sure. So we were basically just comparing state-level data that for existing hospitalizations throughout the city. And so we captured everything, every hospitalization that was in the city in the database. And then we were just comparing it for, so we knew what the University of Chicago had submitted to the state in aggregate de-identified zip code level data. And then we went back into UFC's database and said, okay, now we actually know these actual hospitalizations, and then sort of re-ran the numbers using our estimates and found them comparable. But it's a citywide sort of snapshot, not necessarily that there is variation by zip code.
Yeah, I think my thought was if some zip code made up of some population who are very sensitive to disease and if they love to go to hospital, and is that kind of filter or distributor to redistribute the count, I wonder if it has to be 220. Or is it not a matter because the validation seems to check out?
Well, the methods for just doing this conversion, I think, seem to check out. But what it is sort of a reflection, I think maybe one of your more basic questions is, do the numbers that we see in communities, what are they reflecting? Are they reflecting the fact that the community is sicker, that they have more or less access to actual hospitals around them, that there are community factors that are mediating or moderating these relationships? And so that is one of the, that's actually our bigger question. But we had to sort of get the math right first before we can do some of these larger regression models to look at all the reasons why there's some of these associations, the variation like within communities of these associations.
Thank you, Chico and Dr. Peek.